Good morning. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15, please. Mark chapter 15. And we'll be looking at from verses 16 to verse 39 this morning. Do you remember Christmas? Yeah? Yeah, it's not all a distant blur now that you've had a few weeks away from all the hectic hustle and bustle. I like Christmas. Christmas is a great time of year. You get time off work, you can relax watching your favourite films on TV, and you get lots of presents. It's great. Easter Monday, which is coming up, it's not too bad either. You get time off work, and you get to eat lots of chocolate. Good Friday, on the other hand, is an unusual one. You do get time off work, but no one gives you presents. All the films on TV are all religious. Well, this morning we're going to look at why that is. We're going to look a bit closer at Good Friday and why it's so unusual. And that involves going back to the beginning to see the reasons for this holy day. Let's go back then in the Gospel of Mark to the point just after the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate, when the crowds chose the murderer Barabbas rather than Jesus, for whom they shouted, "Crucify him." Verses 16 to 20. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Here we have these soldiers mocking, insulting, and beating Jesus. These men had heard the charge against him, that he was the King of the Jews. None of them seemed to question whether that was right. None of them stood up for justice. Instead, they brought him into the palace, a place for kings. They dressed him in a purple robe, signifying his royalty. Then they pressed those painful thorns into his head as a mock crown. They showed their cruel disdain for him as they pretended to honour him, but then beat him and spat on him. Nothing shows the utter depravity of man, how far we've fallen, like this group of soldiers. Men who should be honourable, terrorising the perfect and innocent Son of God. They failed to see the one who could save them. They failed to recognise the Saviour from the manger in Bethlehem. They failed to comprehend the absolute atrocity they were committing. Years of brutality had made them callous and cruel. They were too busy with what was expected of them to even question what they were doing. These men of war were blinded to the Prince of Peace who was right in front of them. Jesus was taking this punishment for them, and they didn't realize it. Jesus was taking this mocking and beating, and he wasn't asking for mercy. Jesus wasn't crying out for them to stop, or even calling on the legions of angels to wipe them out. Jesus was enduring this beating for such as these, for such as us. Jesus suffered being mocked and beaten before being led out to be crucified. After the flogging and beating, Jesus was made to carry his own cross from that place through the streets of Jerusalem and out of the city. He would have passed along the Via Dolorosa, the way of grief, lined with crowds jeering. According to the Gospel of Luke, there was also a group of women who wailed and mourned for him. Some of the disciples may have been looking on from a distance, crippled by fear, but eyewitnesses to what was happening. They could all see Jesus was taking the punishment, but they could not yet realize that he was taking the punishment for us and for what we have done. How would you feel if someone else deliberately took the punishment for something serious you'd done wrong? Would you be relieved that you won't be punished? Would you feel guilty that someone else took the blame? Would you feel bad for the one who had to suffer? Would you be angry at the injustice? Would you be grateful to the one who died? Let's continue reading in Mark chapter 15 from verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. You see, as they were coming out of Jerusalem, Jesus would have been too weak to carry his own cross. So the soldiers forced a man coming in from the country, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross for Jesus to the rest of the way to Golgotha. And then there, at 9 a.m, Jesus was crucified. A man hardly recognizable after the flogging and beatings, but identified by a crown of vicious thorns and a sign above his head saying, "The King of the Jews." He was nailed to a cross and raised up for all to see. The soldiers, as their final act of dishonor, cast lots for his clothing while Jesus looked on. If you remember the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' words for the soldiers were not scorn or insult, but forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then for the next 6 hours, the passers-by and religious leaders, even those who were crucified with Jesus, would heap further insults on him, claiming he was powerless to save himself. But the truth was that Jesus was able to have done exactly what they were saying, but he stayed on the cross. If Jesus had come down from the cross, then there would not have been any punishment for sin. We could not have been ransomed and set free from sin. Jesus had said at least 3 times before in Mark's gospel that he had to die. In chapter 8, verse 31, he said, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." In the next chapter, in chapter 9, verse 31, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." And then later in chapter 10, verses 33 to 34, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Now Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him, and he still went through with it. Even the night before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had prayed for another solution, but there was none. There was no other way to free us from the bondage of sin. There was no other way to liberate us from slavery and death. There was no other way to rescue us, to redeem us, and to ransom us. Jesus was the only one qualified to be our sinless substitutionary sacrifice. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who was willing to suffer and die on the cross so that we could be saved. What is your reaction to this? How do you feel about Jesus willingly paying the ransom for you? Now, the ransom is not like that paid to a kidnapper. We've not been taken against our will. No, we sold our birthright when we allowed sin to rule over us. All of us have lied or rebelled against God or worse. None of us are worthy in ourselves to be allowed into God's presence. We're all slaves to sin, and all of us deserve death. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid our ransom to set us free from the slavery of sin. We can now receive eternal life when we put our trust in Jesus, in his death on the cross. Then let's look at Mark chapter 15, the rest of the chapter, from verses 33 to 39. "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down,' he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" So from midday until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the brightest and hottest part of the day, everything went dark. The sun could not shine on the events unfolding before it. After numerous beatings and 6 hours nailed to a cross, a weakened Jesus, close to death and grasping for his final breath, but still fully in command of his mind, manages to let out a cry, echoing Psalm 22. This prophetic psalm, written centuries previously, begins with a cry of desperation, but ends with hope. Verse 24 of that psalm says, "For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." Even at this cry, some of those around misunderstand and think he's calling to Elijah for help. They offer some wine vinegar on a sponge to Jesus and then stand back and watch him die. Then with one final shout, Jesus, the Son of God, dies. At this very moment, the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem that symbolizes the separation of God from man is torn in two. And it's not torn by human hands, since it starts from the top to the bottom. And it now symbolizes that the way to God is open. What the angels sang at Jesus' birth has come to pass. In Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Through his death, Jesus has brought peace between God and man. The centurion who witnesses the death of Jesus is amazed. The man who has seen hundreds of people die before is astonished by what he's seeing now. He exclaims, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So this morning we've taken a closer look at why Good Friday is so unusual. We've seen that Jesus deliberately took the punishment for what you had done wrong. We've seen that Jesus paid the ransom for you. We've seen the reactions of various people to the crucifixion. So as we come to a close, I'd like to ask you, which of the reactions to Jesus' death is most like your reaction? Are you like the soldiers who missed it because they were busy, brutal, and blind? Are we so absorbed in our lives that we don't think about what we do? Or have we closed our minds and hearts to God? Are you like the religious leaders who thought they already knew the way to God? Even if we are very religious, none of us are good enough for God. All of us sin. And none of us are good enough to pay the ransom ourselves. Or are you like Pontius Pilate, who went along with the crowd? Do we give in to peer pressure? Choosing to follow Jesus would mean going his way against the flow of the crowd. Or are you like the Roman centurion who recognized who Jesus was? We don't know what he did about that. Recognizing who Jesus is a start, but it isn't all what we need to do. We then need to put our trust in him to rescue us from the problem of sin and help us to live as his followers. So where does that leave you? Well, there are two ways to live. Our way, where we continue to reject the ruler, God, and try and run life our own way. The result is that we remain condemned by God when face death and judgment. Or God's new way, where we submit to Jesus as our ruler and rely on his death and resurrection. The result is that we stand forgiven by God and have eternal life. Which way do you want to live?